Yo, what up? What up? We are back. We are live. I am here. I just got back. I was in New York. Went for the premiere of Life and Beth. I'm on that season two. Y'all check that out. Life and Beth with Amy Schumer. Y'all make sure y'all go check that out. Pull up on that, man. So I'm back and I got to go all through New York, went out there. It was pretty, pretty nice. It wasn't necessarily a red carpet, but it was a martini bowling night, which was one of the episodes of the show. It reminded us of that. So I went, you know, took a few pics, you know, hugged everybody from the crew. And then the whole weekend, I just worked the New York Comedy Cellar. Shout out to everybody over there. Everybody was very gracious, very kind. And I also worked at the Gotham City Comedy Club, where I did the mixtape comedy show with Royale Watkins and the good brother. Well, Rip Michaels came. Toure was there. And Grand Poobah closed out the show. So it was a pretty amazing experience. So shout out to all of them too. It was really, really good. It was a great time. New York was cold as shit. You know, I just spent most of my time just running through the city, catching that train, bus, train, whatever. A couple times I just couldn't take it, and I just took Ubers because you're gonna get pissed off after a while. I mean, you know, because I had to do all these sets and I got to be there at a certain time, so sometimes just hit the button. But Ubers are quite expensive in New York. Uber will run you about $60 to $70, and I wasn't about to spend no $600 out there just catching Ubers. Yeah, you can't really drive. I wouldn't even have a car if I. You got to be rich out there, man. I ain't gonna lie. Like, the cost of living, shout out to everybody in New York. I don't know how y'all do it, man. That cost of living is just ridiculous. It costs like $400 to walk outside. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's everywhere you go, you're paying. You gotta pay. You pay. You can't even walk in the park. Homeless people paying rent. That shit is, my brother live out there. He run his own business, which is dope. You know, but it's rough, man. If y'all don't have a successful bit, I don't know how y'all do it. Unless y'all working in business finance or some shit. I don't know how you do it out there, man. But salute to everybody in New York. I get why people love it, though, especially in the summertime. Nothing like being in the village, you know, Soho. You know what I'm saying? It's very dope. I ain't really never really visited Brooklyn for real. I've been to the Bronx. Shout out to Rob Stapleton. Rob Stapleton got the Salsa Con Fuego out in the Bronx. I've done that before. But it was a great time, man. Working that cellar is nice. I mean, every day you could do a show every day. Every day. If y'all don't know about the New York Comedy Cellar, that is where Dave Chappelle goes to work out, Chris Rock, Kevin Hart, of course, Amy Schumer. They all these big giants in comedy popping in and out. Matter of fact, Chris Rock had popped in there when I was there this weekend. Didn't talk to him. I mean, I don't be on no groupie shit. You know, you just see people. I don't like to be one of those comics that just stand around a bigger comic looking like a fucking thirsty dog, just begging and hoping this person is going to do something for me. I hate that shit. Like, when I see these people, I'm like, y'all are fucking bugging. Like, pull that shit out of the mud. That motherfucker can't do nothing for you. Shit, if he did it, you can't. Let him be your inspiration. But it was just good to see him. First show I did was pretty cool. I kind of bombed. I was trying to figure it out. Then I got pulled to the side. Hey, man, you know, shout out to Esty out there. She pulled me to the side a little bit, so I just started tearing shit up. I mean, I kind of like when I go to places and I'm doing sets. I really like to work on newer material. I think that's just what I love to do. That's the artist in me. I can definitely smash any room. I mean, you know, I could do old bits and shit, and I know they gonna rip, but there's no joy in that for me as an artist. So I'd rather jump off a cliff or either soar or I'm gonna fall flat on my face. And I mean, I don't mind. I take it however I get it. But boy, when I soar and it just feels, it's just a great, great feeling. So for the rest of the week, I start killing. And also too, with doing so many sets, I did work a whole new bit because you're doing like 15 minute spots. And I mean, the comedy seller might do 14 to 15 shows a day because it's like four different clubs. The New York, you got the Comedy Cellar, the Village Underground, the Fat Black Pussycat, and then the cellar. Yeah, the regular cellar. So it's like four rooms, man. And it's amazing. And I see why so many strong comics come out of there. It's almost like a university. And then two, I mean, I'm in at the cellar. I'm a paid regular, but you know, I had to get more familiar. So I just started kicking ass and it was good. Also, they streamed me on this thing called Mint. It's an app or something. So I got some footage from the show I did. It was some old shit I did too. Cause I just wanted to go. But, it was pretty good. It was a great, great turnout, great weekend. My friend came, the best friend of New Orleans, Ron, came down. I stayed with my brother, and it was just a good time. And it's very important now. The older I get, I think it's very, very important to spend time with those closest to me, you know what I mean, like family and friends, because life is finite. And as we get up in age, we can look back at a lot of these moments and cherish the moments, man. That's one of the main things. So, but what's up, y'all? I'm glad y'all are back here. We got about 47 people in here right now. And also, listen, I'm going to be live at the Arlington Draft House in Arlington, Virginia. Tickets are moving a little bit slow, so hopefully you guys get those tickets, because it's looking drier than a motherfucker at that show right now, and I got five of them. So if you are not in that area, tell a friend to tell a friend. And I'm not gonna hold y'all hostage any longer. Let's just get right into it, man. That NBA All-Star game was trash. Let's just start right there. The dunk contest wasn't shit. It was just ridiculous. It looked like guys dunking on the Nerf rim. And I guess it's harder for this newer generation because there's nothing we haven't seen. But the saddest part about the dunk contest, and I don't know if people realize this, the dunk contest is during Black History Month. And for the last 2 years, a white man has won the NBA slam dunk contest for 2 years in a row. And to top it off, he's not even in the NBA. He's actually in the G League. So I don't know what's going on. I really don't, but I feel like the NBA is in a definite decline. I really don't know what they're going to do after LeBron. I guess they're going to make Wembanyama the face of the league, but I just don't really see it catching on. I know they're doing a lot of international players and shit, but it's very hard to buy sneakers from a guy who talk like this. I don't want sneakers from that guy. I don't want those sneakers. It is no knock, because I know I got my fans all over the world watching me, but you know, it's like, you know, if America come over there playing soccer or some shit, y'all probably, you know, you got to feel that player. So I'm not trying to sound xenophobic or no shit like that, but it's like NBA basketball is an American sport, and you would typically want an American to probably be the face of the NBA, just similar to soccer. I mean, y'all have certain traditions and things in your country, and that's how you feel united. So fair is fair, but the game wasn't shit. I mean, they blowing by each other. They damn near scored 300-400 points in an all-star game. What has happened to the NBA? Nobody sticks defense anymore. It's just becoming a very, very bad product, I would say. Because I remember growing up, you know, the dunk contest was a big thing. You know, we used to come back to school. We would come to school and we would act those dunks out. You're talking about 1984, 85, Michael Jordan, Dominique going at it. You know what I'm saying? You know, Sean Kemp, you know, you had Vince to be dunking all the time. I can't think of the name right now. But you had all of these great dunkers. And I mean, the NBA dunk competition was it. It was lit, man. And then you watch the three-point competition. But now, and I guess we just in a different time. I don't even think kids are really watching sports. I think sports has become so business-minded and capitalistic all the way down to the players and the parents that now it's just the hustle and everybody just wants to get their children as good as possible to get into the NBA. It just doesn't seem like it. It seems like it's lost its love, its luster. You know, I would scratch my head. Why is there no Ja Morant in the dunk contest? Like, you know, where are the big franchise players? But maybe over the years they had gotten exploited to be in it. I don't know, but that shit was trash. And then they had a guy jump over Cassinet. What the fuck? How do you jump over? Like, bro, I am 46 and I can jump over Cassinet at 46 years old. Jumping over Cassinet would be like jumping over a shoe. How was that supposed to be impressive at all? It just looked lazy. Jaylen Brown trying to stick his tongue out like Jordan. That shit was cringy. It was just terrible. So I just want to give several thumbs down to the whole league. And y'all need to do something about this NBA shit. It doesn't need, I mean, if it's going to go international, keep the fucking game American. Shit, it was invented in America. That's like them changing soccer to American. No, keep it how it was. The kids can't even keep up with the international players, man. Since the Dream Team, they have trouble playing them international players. And everybody wants to make the excuse of, well they wasn't as good and all and bullshit. You know what I'm saying? You're never going to see. And I'm glad I came up in the time that I did, because to watch Michael Jordan, Magic, Bird, oh, my gosh. To watch Michael Jordan, Magic, Bird, Barkley, just go down to Pat Ewing, all this. Was it Steve Kerr on that team? I don't remember. But to watch those Jazzers go down there and obliterate the world, you know what kind of feeling of pride that gave me as an American? And then you follow that shit up with the Redeem Team, and if it wasn't for Kobe Bryant getting them back on track, they would have got their ass beat, so I really don't know. This speaks volumes to us as a country and where we're headed as a society, I must say. But that shit was trash, as the good brother Bubba Dub would say.
Trash.
So I saw Monique. Oh, man, our sweet sister.
Hey, my sweet babies. I'm back again, baby.
Monique has been in the news. Everything but being funny. I mean, shit, man. Everything but funny. I just want to laugh. To all my comedians out here, man. To everybody that's with all this beef and shit and everything. Look, man, I just want to laugh, man. You know, I watched Monique literally destroy her child on stage. And I just don't know how you do that. I think as an entertainer, especially as big of an entertainer she is, you know, like they say on Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. So whatever gripes you might have with your child or whatever's happened, and then you know your son is suffering from mental health, for you to get up in front of 10 or 15,000 people and just tear him down. Just tear him down. For what? For what? For attention? To be accepted? by the world, by a bunch of motherfuckers that are literally sitting here watching you walk on a tightrope waiting for your downfall? Because that's what the fuck they're doing. They're not showing up for funny. There's no funny there. And I really thought it was sad. And this young man, very articulate young man, when he spoke out about her, he only spoke out because she said something about him first. And it's just blah, 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 blah. And right now, just us as a community, it just everything is looking bad. Everything is looking bad. I mean, this fucking Cat Williams interview has created a tumultuous snowball effect where, I mean, we are just going down a cliff very, very fast. It's like the whole tone of these legends, of these legendary comedians that I grew up looking up to, are just all infighting and just mad at the world and shit, mad at each other. And you know, I'm sitting up here grinding, trying to make this dream come true. And it's very concerning, very hurtful to watch so many of them bicker and fight. I mean, these niggas sound like open micers. They sound like open micers who have no options and no, like, there's no options, that there's nowhere to go, like at the end of the road. And it's very concerning. But I would say to Monique going in on her son, it's like, you know, the young man was talking about his mental health condition. And when you get in front of a crowd, see, the thing is, and what you guys don't know, and I know some people will speak against me, but when you're famous and when you're popular, people will tend to take your side. It's just human nature. It is what it is. They're more so going to take the side of the person with the most resources and the most fame and the most popularity. So when you do that, it's almost like you sent an attack on your child. And yes, he spoke out, but it's like, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Because you know the power of the wrath in which you could bring from that. And, you know, as a sensible person, I love my son to death. Like, you know, he could wrong me, but that would not stop my love for him. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't, no matter what he would say, it wouldn't bring me to y'all to get fucking validation, because I would not care how y'all viewed it. My main concern would be mending that relationship with him. Fuck the industry, fuck the business, and fuck how, you know, anyone would feel about me. That would be my main goal. And I'm talking just from being a civilized, you know, adult, and somebody's thinking, you know what I mean? Like, that shit is wrong. And if that boy was to do something to himself, your ass is cooked. And don't nobody want to hear that "hey baby" shit and all that crying. Your ass cooked. Let that boy do something to himself. Shit, you won't sell another goddamn ticket. I promise you that. So it's just, it was really, really sad. And parents, I think as a parent, you know what I mean? I try to instill a lot of love in my son, and I'm trying to do the best that I can, but I can never interpret how he feels about me as a dad. I would hope that he loves me and I'm doing the right thing, but as he grows, I don't know what his interpretation will be. You know, as far as my parenting is concerned, but I'm gonna love him in the same, and I'm gonna respect how he feels. You know what I mean? Because that's how he feels. I can't change that. And, you know, and I, you know, when you a mother that seeks fame and fortune and you abandon a fucking child, you don't think that won't cause a fucking mental issue? Like, give me a break. You abandon him. He with grandma because you want to be rich and famous. Okay, but you can't. He's 35, and that trauma, it comes back. It comes back. See, we got to stop cheering these motherfuckers on that are famous and just recklessly just having babies and shit everywhere. that shit is not cool because there's no amount of money. There's no gift. There's nothing that could replace the time spent with that child. And that is how children spell love. They spell it T-I-M-E, not M-O-N-E-Y. They spell it T-I-M-E. So it's really, really sad. And comedy is just in a shitter right now, man. I don't, we go from that and shit now, you know, the good brother Corey Holcomb. Well, and then I'm going to go back to my good brother and my friends. Corey Holcomb recently got into it just today, last night. What's today? Today, Monday, so that must happen Sunday. No, yeah, today, Tuesday, so that must happen Sunday, a chocolate Sunday. But Corey Holcomb and Donnell Rawlins got into a little bit of an altercation while on stage. And I got to call both of them. I'm going to call Donnell. I'm going to holler at Corey. And we're going to, as comedians right now in the black comedy world, we're going to have to put out a self-destruction album or something, man. Because, I mean, it is chaotic right now. And what's happening is the essence of comedy is starting to escape because people, the more and more this goes downhill, the more and more people are going to be more concerned with spectacle. Like, they're already concerned with spectacle because of the internet and the TikTokers that are dominating comedy spaces. But if we, the real comedians, are the comedians that came up back in the day that they had to go through all the shit, continuously beef, and this continuously goes downhill, then the crowds are going to be more concerned with spectacle. And we're about to turn black comedy into fucking wrestling. We might well be up there wrestling and slamming chairs on each other's backs because this is where this shit is headed. And it's just like the Cat Williams interview just opened the devil up out of the bottle. And he just jumped out. It is, everybody is literally clawing with each other. Cause I know, like, in this business, it's very difficult just to get to a certain level where you can sell your tickets and merch and, you know, really run a business. And these guys are at this level and it's not good, man. It's not good. It's really not good. So let's take a look at what happened with Corey and Donnell.
ILD. You catch up. You ain't have to go. Nobody agree? So I'm wrong. Okay. I can be wrong. I'm talking about, but we at the what is this called? This is the Laugh Factory. We was at the Savoy, you wouldn't be able to be up here that long. Get your whole ass down.
I came up in the hardest rooms in Brooklyn.
And what happened?
And you ain't never with them rooms.
You just yelling.
Because
down.
I don't have a mic. I can talk to you straight up. You want to talk about it? You saying I'm mild. You saying I ain't come through the streets or the gutters is straight bull. And if you want to ask somebody, ask the mother.
Did
you know?
This is really, really sad. And I would hope that these brothers, I'm not going to take a side in this because I'm friends of both of these brothers, worked with both of them. You know what I'm saying? I done worked with Corey. I done worked with Donnell. And they've all are just giants to me and mentors. But man, it is sad, and it really, you know, watching this from the outside, I'm like, comedy was always that space, and what I appreciated about it was the honesty of it, and it wasn't street. This shit wasn't like hardcore gangster rap and all that shit, but it's starting to slowly become that, and I just would wish that brothers would be more conscious. I'm going to ask y'all too. Did y'all hear an echo in that video? Could y'all tell me? Did y'all hear an echo in that video? Tell me if y'all heard an echo when I played that video. Was it good? Did you hear it clear? Come on, y'all. Y'all watching. Hello. This is live. You didn't? Okay, good. I'm just making sure. You heard it pretty good, L Bridge. Did you hear good? You didn't hear echo either? Okay. Good, 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 good. But yeah, man, I just want everybody to get along, man. It's just not cool, man. And we keep going down the hole, right? And everybody is on the, you know, now it all really came from the Shannon Sharp interview with Kat. This is where all this energy, it's amazing how energy is transferred and how energy can just tear shit up. And it came all from the Shannon Sharp interview, and everybody's on the Shannon Sharp bus. And all you have to do, like, now, shit, it's becoming almost a stock joke. It's a stock joke at this point to say that Shannon Sharp is gay. Like, it's like, come on, man. Everybody's saying the same shit about the man. And what's most concerning to me is this. This is a time for us as a people to really look ourselves in the mirror. Joe Rogan just got a $250 million deal on Spotify. Cat Williams called Joe Rogan out for having all the unfunny white boys. Whatever. Comedy's subjective. Here's the thing. They're not tearing him the fuck down. They're all working together. So if they are unfunny, it doesn't matter. He's created opportunity. Like, they create an opportunity for each other. And all of those guys, they're doing theaters. They're selling out by themselves, where they don't have to be a group of 10 of them on one goddamn show. You see what I'm saying? So this whole culture right now of us just tearing each other up, and you can see the mentality and the disease of it. It's not, this shit has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with, nothing to do with poverty, nothing to do with gang shit. This is a mentality that we are going to have to break ourselves, like, straight up. It's no other way. I have to call a spade. This famine mentality and this mentality of, I got to hammer this nigga in the back because he up here. He's up here. So let's all scramble to throw him down. Like, it's fucking ridiculous. And hell, I'm not, you know, nowhere near these guys. I should be the main one going in. You know what I'm saying? But it's such a bigger picture. And I just think it's so much more important for us to work together. You know what I'm saying? Like, all this shit is just, it's really, really unnecessary. And it bothers me. But the Shannon Sharp bus is big and everybody seems to be jumping on it. You know, we went from Mike Epps to now Eddie Griffin to now, I think, all the smoke podcasts trying to mess with this man. And it's almost like it's straight up jealousy, number one. And Corey was going at him. It's almost to me like, do you want this man to, you want to trick him out of his spot or something? It's like they want him to fight them or beat them or something so he could go to jail or get sued. It's crazy to me. It's crazy, but this is a nice guy. I don't see it. Hell, he just let Cat talk, you know? It's really sad, man. It's really, really sad. Whew, I'm just going to move along. I'm going to move along. And then also, too, in comedy, I want to talk about comedian freedom of speech because the brother David Lucas, who I know, met him when he was very, very young in the game. And David Lucas said some things in regards to George Floyd in a joke. And the joke fell flat. Some people walked out. It was an interesting joke. It was a shock joke. But at the end of the day, I don't feel like it's comedians' jobs to police other comedians. Just in the name of art. I have been guilty of doing that because I did it for Ari Shaffir with the Kobe joke. And I just thought that shit was like way too fucking far because I'm thinking of a man dying in the helicopter, holding his baby in his hands. And I just didn't see the fun in that, but it was still out of place, because to be a comedian, there are unspoken rules. Like, I'm not going to come. If I see a comic bombing, I'm going to let him bomb in silence. We don't show up as a comedian is bombing and boo the comedian. And you might want to sometimes real, real bad, but you don't. You just let him struggle. And you remain silent in that. And I think an unspoken rule should let a comic, you know, just freedom of speech is real. Just let a comic do what he do. You know what I mean? And I called David after that joke. And I told him, I said, look, it is a shock joke. It it fell rather flat. But here's the thing about being a comedian. The genius of a comedian is being able to take something like that, right? And David said, you know, I guess the joke started because black people, some black person artist was messing with him. And he said, that's why they kneeled on George Floyd. And then he goes, I wouldn't have kneeled on him. I would have shot that nigga. Well, the brilliance in comedy is being able to say that while somehow instilling the shock value, but pulling people back on your side at the same time and making them laugh. Now, that's something that a lot of comedians can't do. You know what I mean? Only guys I've seen do that are like Louis C.K. and maybe Dave Chappelle. And also even Anthony Jeselnik to a degree. But you have to be very, very clever in your wordplay. And, you know, just a lot of things left unexplained in that joke. And it just fell flat. But I'm not going to burn him at the cross for freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is just freedom of speech. I'm sorry. I mean, you can feel how you want to feel. This shit I say and niggas get mad. You know, it's just what it is. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see if the audience was white or how many white people. Well, I did hear some claps, which was rather unfortunate. And that bothered me the most was that there were white people actually howling at that joke. That was really, really scary. But as far as art is concerned, I'm for the... Well, I guess in a way I'm a hypocrite too, because a lot of this fucking music I listen to that's talking about killing black people all day, I'm rather against that. But I mean, they're not comedians, it's a different genre. But hey, it's what it is. It's really he fell flat, man. He fell flat. So it was rough. So David will be all right, though. David will be all right. And I mean, we say stuff too. He was in front of all white crowd. You know, you get brothers in front of all black crowds and say certain things. Or you get a white boy in front of all black crowd that panders. And it's all kind of different shit in comedy. And, you know, freedom of speech is just freedom of speech. At the end of the day, it's entertainment. It's a guy on stage there to amuse you. Which, well, I will be at the Arlington Draft House, Arlington, Virginia. Get those tickets March 1st to the 3rd. We got some left. So come on, y'all. Pull up on your boy. Shit. Where else was I going, man? I checked out the Fonnie Willis thing. If y'all don't know Fonnie Willis is the district attorney out here in Atlanta. She's over the YSL Young Thug RICO case, as well as the Donald Trump election interference case. And basically she's being not tried, but they're questioning her. And what they're trying to do is, because see, I didn't understand it. That's why I didn't speak on the shit, because I was ignorant of it. But what they want to prove, I guess Trump's lawyers or whoever brought this case up against her, they want to prove that the special prosecutor that she hired to be over the election interference case with Donald Trump, she was romantically involved with him. Now, I don't believe it's illegal for her to be romantically involved or previously romantically involved, but what they want to prove the only thing that would disqualify her is if they prove that somehow hiring this man for this case benefits her financially. And then that will throw it out. And from what I've seen and what I've heard, there's really no proof there. You can't count a couple of dates as proof. You know, he would have to buy a car, some lavish gifts. There's going to have to be something more. So my guess is that it'll be thrown out. I was ignorant of it. I didn't know what was going on with it, but they're going to throw that shit out. And I'm sure those lawyers will try to appeal it. But that shit is going nowhere. It's and, you know, she got up there. She got down with that dress on backwards. I see it as unethical, I guess. I really don't know. What you have to prove is that she gained somehow or got some type of financial incentive from putting him on the case. And that's why they were asking her about the money, the dates, this romantic relationship. I do think it will hurt her reputation, like as an attorney, because it kind of muddies the water with that, for messing with a subordinate, an employee, a contracted person. I think it will tarnish her reputation. But as far as the disqualification from the case, and this was from a lawyer I was listening to, I don't know if it's there. So this is the thing. Well, she gave away $650,000 of the taxpayers' money. Is that the price? Is that what it costs for an attorney of this magnitude? I would guess, right? That's the fee. So that fee could be for anybody, but they would have to prove that somehow this $650,000 or a big portion of that got back to her. That's what I heard. So I don't know. I don't know. It's what it is. You know, what I even heard about them process the district attorney in a county prosecuting a former president, I didn't understand why. I mean, I know Trump talks shit, but at the end of the day, Biden still won. I don't know the purpose of it. I don't know. So I don't want to get too political here. It's just what it is. They're going to discredit her. It could be a blow to her, but it's rather unfortunate. I know she wish she never dated this guy. But I know one trial ain't going away, and that is the Young Thug trial. And it's not looking good for Young Thug and YSL right now. And what, you know, at first when I was watching this, you know, in the beginning stages of this trial, I'm like, man, this shit look like a circus. And they should throw it out. But now, as it gets later and later, we get deep and deep into this trial, it's starting to take a turn for the worse. It's starting to take a turn into the favor of the prosecution. And I mean, like the other day, one of the defending lawyer would be a lawyer on the side of YSL. So a YSL lawyer was just arrested and thrown in jail, a white female, for being a member of the gang, tipping off I think she was tipping off gang members when the police was coming, where the dope was at. And then they have all these TikTok videos of her rapping to the music and shit and dancing. And white people, I see a lot of white people to get, you know, they feel, you know, in the hood, you know, you get those white people that want to be down or whatever with the street shit, and they feel a part of something. But I don't know. I mean, hopefully her white tears will get her out of this. I don't know, but it's not looking good at all for this case. And that was a blow. But the biggest blow that came today in court, let's take a look at this.
It's not an emergency. The guy that shot the guy over here, please don't ask him. she's in my friend's old apartment, and she's.
Now, this recording is somebody calling the police saying a young thug was shooting at somebody. This is a recording of a 911 call. So
panicking, she don't know what to do.
Okay, what's going on?
It's a guy. Somebody must have shot somebody over here where I stayed, over here in Summerdale. But you cannot come to my house
Okay, ma'am. When I come to your location, I just need to know what's going on. Was somebody shot recently?
Yes, about 5. Police say where I go.
Okay. What's the location?
It's over here on Cleveland Avenue.
Cleveland Avenue, and what else, ma'am? I need numbers or 2 Cross Street?
Old Hateville.
Old Hateville in Cleveland Avenue?
Yes. I don't want to talk loud. I don't want to get myself in no trouble.
That's fine. Okay. You said the male is inside of what home?
My friend apartment. She's panicking. She don't know what to do.
Okay, that's fine. Okay.
But she got her mom and her baby now.
Okay. All right. And
we stay in the new townhouses in Summerdale. And she stay in building C, but I'm not for sure what the apartment number is. But she stay in building C when you come around, you come through the gate.
Okay, so who was shot?
I have no idea, babe. I promise I can't tell y'all that. I don't know. All that I know, she came to my house and told me that the guy that shot somebody named Young Thug, or whatever it's supposed to be, shot somebody, and the guy is in her house. So I don't know how y'all can do that. I'm trying to get her out the house, but she wants the phone now.
Okay, all right. Okay, so you're saying the female won't answer the phone?
I just tried to call her phone. And she got her baby and her mama now.
Okay, all right. And do you want to leave your name or number?
No. Okay. Please don't call me back.
Yes,
because
ma'am.
He know my children. No.
Okay. All right.
I want to come back and retaliate this thing.
Okay. What's the apartment or the duplex name?
It's Summerdale townhouse. Not the old Summerdale. They the new one.
Okay. Is there a gate code to get in?
Never call it now. You got to have a gate code to get in, but the back gate is open.
Okay.
Everybody standing out here.
Okay. Okay, we'll get somebody out.
I'm trying to get her out the house on the mama, but they want the phone now.
Okay.
She don't know what she's panicking.
Okay, but she's in a building C, correct?
Building C. When you come around, when you come through the gate, come around, but I'm not for sure what the number is on her apartment number.
All right, we'll get somebody out, okay?
All right, please don't tell us how to make the call.
Yes, ma'am. They won't call you back, and I don't have your name.
All right, thanks.
All right.
So you listen to that call, and this is why I'm so anti-street nigga. You looking at somebody that grew up in this shit, and you hear the terror in this elderly senior citizen's voice. Because she's being held a fucking hostage in her own community by her own kind. You see what I'm saying? So when I look at these niggas, sometimes I look at them as treasonous, as working behind fucking enemy lines. You see what I'm saying? I grew up with this shit all my life. I've seen it the whole time. That woman was in fear and terror. She probably didn't even want to make that goddamn call, but she had to because she didn't know what's going to happen to her friend. It's really, really sad, but hopefully justice will be served one way or another, but that street shit got to go. It got to go. And like I said, it just goes back to us really looking in the mirror at ourselves as a people. Because as you can see with the bickering I'm talking about with the comics and all this shit, the Shannon Sharp, it's a mentality that got to be broken at this point. And we have to remove those chains from the mind. That's going to be the most important thing, man. But It's not looking good. I don't know what his attorney is going to do. I don't know if they're going to say, well, maybe Jeffrey was out there passing out Jehovah's Witness flyers and they were singing hymnals, you know, because it's a Jesus, you know, they said it was truly humbled under God. They were passing out some pamphlets, some biblical pamphlets, and maybe some M80s or some firecrackers went off. I don't know. I guess we could keep playing stupid, though. And but it's rather unfortunate. And this is how a lot of us grow up. And when people are dancing and they make this fucking music about terrorizing their own kind, and it looks cool in the video, but see, people don't see the everyday working Joe that's living in the hood. That's because it's more everyday working class people that just want to live right and keep a roof over their head. They got to duck and dodge the bullets, you know, and they're like hostages. You become a hostage in the damn community. And as she said, folks, you get out of the phone. Don't say my name. They know my children. She didn't want her babies getting hurt. So this shit got to go. I'm sorry. I am sorry. And this is why I have the disdain that I have for that shit. And I'm called a coon and all that. Because let me tell you something. You fuck with me, I'm going to treat you worse than the white folks. Oh, God. I'm going to go to court. I'm going to prosecute your ass. You going to jail fucking with me. Shit. The one thing about me, you never had to be divorced. You goddamn right. I ain't no street nigga. Fuck with me, you going to jail. That's how I do this shit. I ain't got no time for that shit. It's crazy, man. It's treason. It's treasonous. Yes, it is. So I'm sure they trace the phone too, but shit, it's what it is, man. That shit got to go. I'm tired of that. And shout out, I see a lot of young brothers now getting out of rap. A lot of young brothers are making a transition into country music. Matter of fact, there's a young brother named Four Bats. He's not singing country, but he just singing love songs, but he look like a goon. But his music is just smooth jazz and sweet jams. You know what I mean? Because music, it really puts you in a trance. Music puts us in a trance. We can't just say it doesn't, but it does, man. That music, that shit is hypnosis. It's hypnosis. You know what I'm saying? You and then I'm seeing too, like the girls now, the female rappers are doing more and more of the whole type rap. You know what I mean? It's all about they pussies and selling ass. And that's even becoming like, God damn, you know what I mean? But it puts us in a trance, and the younger, it brainwashes people. You know what I'm saying? That's real. As a young man growing up watching NWA, shit, you want to be a goon. Everybody, like, I would love to do a study, because I know it's all mixed up in one. Community flooded with crack. Everybody trying to get some money. People holding down territory, shooting, killing. You got little boys, 14, 15, selling packs. They making 20 off a 100 pack. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, you got a guy rapping about it who was just an actor. You know, these guys back then. But then, you know, people wanted some real rap. You know, where they wanted the goon. They wanted to hear that goon story. And he has to be a real goon and a killer. And, you know, it goes on and on. And instead of these record companies telling these young men, hey, please don't rap about your crimes and the atrocious acts that you commit against your own people. Instead of them telling them that shit, you know what they said? We're going to get the government involved and we're going to get laws changed. So when you go kill and murder your own, they can't use it in your music. How about that? And then we can make more billions off the back of the blacks. But I'm the coon when I say that kind of shit. I am the coon. I'm the problem. It is crazy to me, man. It is crazy. Where else we at? Okay, it looked like we did about everything. Yeah, we got through it today, y'all. Had a lot of people in here, too. We got four on Twitter. Shout out to the four people watching me on Twitter, everybody on Facebook. Shout out to you guys. But spread that word. I'm going to be at the Arlington Draft House in Arlington, Virginia, March 1st to the 3rd. I thought that Young Thug case would have got thrown out, but it don't look like it now, man. Boy, they must have had that evidence. They must have waited. I guess the lawyers didn't see all the evidence they had. But that's about it, man. I'm going to wrap this show up, man. It's been a groove. Did you guys enjoy it so far? We got any questions before I leave? I'm going to try to get to the Richmond Funny Bone. Shout out to Travis Allen. I'm going to try to get out there. Yeah, I hate where rap is too. Thank you, Tamelia Farms Rogers. I still got to come to that farm, Tamelia. Yeah, it's a lot of dumb stuff being pumped in our community. And I just call that shit out. But yeah, hopefully y'all pray for all the comics. And I guess we're going to get it on. Get on out of here. What y'all say? Oh yeah, they do have them huge insurance policies on them rappers. They do. That's real. Dear Street Rapper, your record company got a $4-5 million insurance policy on you. So they actually hoping that you, you know, do what you do so they can get paid. Out of that $100,000 upfront they gave you, they'll make more off that policy. They figure they'll make more off the policy than they will off the music. And that is real. We got to stop. Wait, who else? What up, man? Man, who's that here? Cedric Murphy. Overnight Walgreens crew in New Orleans. Over there on Airline Highway. Cedric, you worked at Airline Highway at Walgreens? Come on, man. That's crazy. Cedric, talk to me. Man, that's crazy. One day soon, peaceful journey. I hope so. Are you still over there, Cedric? Cedric, are you... Oh, you the night manager. You still over there, huh? Wow, that's crazy. Well, shout out to you, man. How's it going at the Greens, man? It's still crazy. What y'all doing, 2,000 a day? Wait, you not over there no more. Did you? No? You not over there? Okay, you not over there. Well, guys, I hope this has been insightful. Oh, man, that's beautiful, brother. Hey, man, shout out, man. Y'all go check out Past Cedric Murphy. Amen. Praise God. We're going to have a little church in here today. Amen. Cedric Murphy is pastoring out there in Baton Rouge. Praise God. What's the name of that church? Amen. What's the name of that church? Say it so I can let the people know. Give me the name of the church. Come on, say it. Yeah, they shouting you out now, say it. Come on, let's get some people to the church before I wrap this up. Wait, did he leave? Amen, amen. Praise God. Providence Number One Baptist Church, pastored by Cedric Murphy. Amen. Cedric is a man of God, a man of peace. And you guys, wow. But we're going to wrap this up, man. Look, this is the LeVar Walker Daily Podcast Show, man. And I'm going to see you guys tomorrow, man. Be blessed, man. I'm out of here. I'm just going to end it on that. There we go. Man, it ain't ending.